Good afternoon, and welcome to the March meeting of the Louisville Forum. I'm Dot Ridings, president of the Forum, which presents monthly discussions on important and sometimes controversial local issues. The Forum is nonpartisan and does not, as an organization, take a stand on any issue. We invite everyone in the community to join us as members of the Forum, which entitles you to 12 meals and 12 great programs during the year, conversations with newsmakers and other interesting people. For more information, you can speak with our membership chair, Emily Zeitman, or any board member in the audience. Our next meeting is Wednesday, April 21st. Please note that the April meeting is on the third Wednesday, a change from our usual pattern. With us on April 21st will be the Democrats who are running for mayor of Louisville in the May primary election. Because of the large number of candidates in this primary, the program will last an extra 15 minutes. You can make your reservation through our website or our reservation line, 329-0111. If there's a topic or an issue that you would like to have discussed at a future forum meeting, you are invited to attend one of our monthly programs and issues committee meetings, usually held on the third Wednesday of each month at Greenabon Dahl and McDonald's on the 35th floor of National City Tower. Because of the change in date of the April forum meeting itself, the monthly meeting of P&I next month will be held on the second Wednesday of the month. And now for today's program. We're pleased to welcome Mark Hebert as the moderator for our debate among the Republican candidates for mayor of Louisville. Mark is a native of New York State and is a graduate of Western Kentucky University. He was a reporter for the Kentucky News Network and for a Lexington television station before coming to WHAS-TV in Louisville in 1987. Since May of last year, he's been director of media relations and spokesperson for the University of Louisville. Welcome to the Louisville Forum, Mark.
Thank you. Thank you, Dot. Yeah, I've been here once or twice before, for those of you who have been members there for some time, for some controversial issues. And I do remember when Dot Ridings helped bring that debate to Louisville back in 1984. That just shows how old I am. That's when I had hair back in 84. Shows how old you are too, Dot. All right, well, welcome all of you to the Republican Mayoral Candidates Forum here at the Louisville Forum. Here's what we're going to do today. We're going to have introductions from each candidate. They're going to be about 2 minutes long. Each candidate will get to ask the one other candidate a question as they go along, and then they'll take questions from the audience. So all of you should have cards on the table or have been given cards as you walked in the door to put your questions on. So get that done right now while the candidates are getting ready to speak. The opening statement will be 2 minutes long, and Jonathan Robertson will be the first. So I'll tell you a little bit about Jonathan as he's getting ready to speak. You haven't touched your lunch yet, Jonathan. You're going to have to eat while Hal and Chris are talking, I guess.
Yes.
Jonathan Robertson was raised in the South End and graduated from J-Town High School. Jonathan earned a Bachelor of Science in Business Administration from the University of Louisville. He began his career in business as a real estate broker for Paul Simon & Company while in college, then was hired as a mortgage loan officer at Humphrey & Associates once he finished his degree in finance. After 4 years as a loan officer, the owner of the firm sold to a large bank, and Robertson decided to start his own company as a computer IT specialist for small businesses. Robertson actively runs his business today, still helping small businesses benefit from his extensive expertise in technology. This will be Jonathan's first run for office, and he prides himself on having no affiliation with any special interest groups. Jonathan currently lives in the Jeffersontown area with his wife and two children. Jonathan Robertson.
Hello, my name is Jonathan Robertson, and I want to be your Metro Mayor, not just a Louisville Mayor. I know that not many Louisvillians know who I am, and actually one article I just read said that I'm considered a long shot, but I need to remind you, this is the Derby City, and sometimes long shots pay off big. People have questioned why I'm running for mayor, and why I think I could run this city, and without any political or government experience, like it's a bad thing. I tell them simply this: I'm a problem solver. Every day, people call me with problems with their computers, with their phone systems, with business systems, and they want an answer right away. I give them those answers most of the time right away, or I find those answers quickly and efficiently. I've run my business for 20 years, and it's been a successful business, and I know how to make a business run, and I think I know how to make a city run as well. I want to be your Metro Mayor because I don't think we dream big enough in Louisville. I know some might disagree with that, but we've always played it safe. We've always looked at the near term, 5-10 years out. I think we need to look further out, 20-30 years out, what we're going to look like and how we're going to grow. My dad used to say, when they built the Waterston Expressway, I think back in the 50s or 60s, I remember in the 60s, he used to complain that the Waterston Expressway, when it was built, wasn't big enough, and he was right. They had to expand it right away. We only seem to look at what we know can happen for sure and try to make it happen. I'd like to make us seek out what others can't see and make those things happen. I'd like to make Louisville dream big and make those dreams come true. On my new website, metromayor.com, I will continually develop my plans for a 21st century Louisville and growth. And I'd like to have Louisville be Metro Louisville, a city in motion. I'm Jonathan Robertson, and I want to be your Metro Mayor.
Next up in the Republican primary for mayor, Hal Heiner. He's a graduate of Atherton High School. Hal Heiner earned both an undergraduate and postgraduate degrees from the University of Louisville. He started his career designing roads, bridges, sewage and water treatment facilities, airports, floodplain protection, and designing neighborhoods and businesses. Based in Louisville, Hal began planning new residential communities and business parks in Orlando, Indianapolis, and Northern Virginia, and his hometown. In 1997, Hal Heiner founded Capstone Realty, which helped bring more than 4,000 jobs to Southern Jefferson County and 1,000 additional jobs to the region. In 2002, Hal was elected to serve on the first Metro Council, representing the 19th District. Hal has served as the chairman of the Budget and Economic Development Committees and currently serves as the chairman of the Republican Caucus of the Metro Council. Hal has been married to his high school sweetheart, Sheila, for 32 years. They are the parents of four children, Julia, Hal, Jenna, and Maya, and have two grandsons, Daniel and Noah. Hal and his family raise crops on his family farm, which borders the Floyd's Fork area of Jefferson County. Hal Heiner.
Thank you for showing an interest in Louisville's future by being here today and participating in this debate. My family moved to Louisville in 1965 when my father took a job at GE's Appliance Park. After finishing Atherton High School, I graduated from the University of Louisville as a civil engineer. I loved Louisville then, and I love Louisville today, as my wife Sheila and I chose to raise our four children here. Sheila and I know what it means to risk everything to start a new business. We started Capstone Realty, a business which has built 5 million square feet for 5,000 jobs. I am proud to have helped good people keep good jobs on both sides of the river. We built a business park on 300 acres off Preston Highway that today has 20 buildings and employs over 4,000 people. We also built four buildings in Jeffersonville that employs 1,000 people. This experience in job attraction has allowed me to understand how companies around the world make their decisions on where to locate their jobs. After 7 years on Metro Council fighting to open up government, I am running for mayor to bring a new vision to Louisville, a city where job growth and investment are welcome, a city where efficient government has nothing to hide, in a city where your neighborhood actually benefits from the promises you were given when you voted for merger. I'm running for mayor to bring my business experience to win the best new jobs for Louisville and rebuild our government into one that works for you. Thank you again for the opportunity to be here with you this afternoon.
The third Republican candidate for mayor is Chris Thieneman. Born in Southwest Jefferson County, Chris Thieneman was educated at Bishop David High School, where his skills on the football field helped lead him to the University of Louisville, where he got a bachelor's degree in business management. Chris was named an AP All-American while playing for U of L and achieved one of his childhood dreams when he signed to play pro football for Tom Landry and the Dallas Cowboys. After a six-year career in pro football, Chris returned home and began working with his family's real estate business. Chris obtained a real estate license, took over operation of the family business from his father, and later established his own development company. Some of Chris's developments are Smyrna Crossing Subdivision, Valley Station Town Center, Sun Valley Medical Center, and the Champions Trace Business Center. Chris was a partner in the Louisville Fire Arena Football League 2 team and was a co-founder of the Mint Jubilee, which benefited the James Graham Brown Cancer Center. Chris Thieneman is a member of the Young Professionals Association of Louisville, Home Builders Association, Apartment Association, Manufactured Housing Institute, and founded the Support the Library, Not the Tax campaign. Chris lists among his greatest blessings his two daughters, Cameron and Sydney. Chris Thieneman.
Thank you, Mark. Thank you, Mark. I guess you've taken up my 2 minutes because I don't know what more I can say. I really appreciate the kind words. And thank you, too, for allowing me to speak to you today. I was born and raised right on Cane Run Road, went to Bishop David High School, received a football scholarship at the University of Louisville, played very briefly for the Dallas Cowboys, my dream as a child, and was blessed to play 6 years up in the Canadian Football League, where I brought my two beautiful girls back home to raise in Louisville. But when I came back to work in the family business, I knew I wanted to do more than just make money. And that's when I started a nonprofit called the Mint Jubilee. 15 years ago, we started a cancer-causing, raising funds for fighting cancer. And after the very last year that Matt Battaglia, my brother and I, co-founded the Mint Jubilee, I was honored by signing the check myself of giving close to $250,000 to the University of Louisville. And I was so proud of that. And then after that, I knew I was watching with the arena football, I watched Katrina destroy New Orleans. Now, as an arena football owner, our world championship was held in Louisiana. And so days before the hurricane hit, and as I was watching the families prepare for this disaster, and we were preparing ourselves to go back home, I met so many of the friends that were fighting to protect the families and watch the football field go from a football field to a home for thousands of people. But I knew that I knew where I wanted to bring some families home, where it was going to be inviting, where they could raise their children, and that was Louisville, Kentucky. I brought 20 families home from Katrina up to Louisville and made it their new home, and I am so proud to be part of that. And thank you for your time.
Now we're getting into the question and answer portion of the forum. We're not calling it a debate, I guess. We'll call it a forum. And we're going to go in the same order as the opening statements. And as I said earlier, each candidate gets to ask one other candidate one question. And the question is asked in any format they want, except they can't ramble on and make it another opening statement. So ask a direct question to one of your competitors here. They will have 1 minute to respond. So Jonathan, you go first. Ask one of these gentlemen a question.
This question is for Mr. Heiner. With all this talk of all the mayoral candidates talking about creation of jobs and what they're going to do to create jobs when they become mayor, I'm wondering what the council is doing now, and especially the candidates that are council people, what they're doing now to work on job creation for Louisville.
Jonathan, thank you for that question about job creation, and that certainly is the greatest need in our community. The way this government is organized is that the executive branch has the responsibility for actually running this government. From the legislative branch, I have served as the chair of Labor and Economic Development, but where we need to go as a community is we need to have a mayor that is the chief economic development official. GLI has done a good job on the ground game, but we need a mayor that's willing to travel. That's what I've seen in other cities as I've traveled around looking for best practices. The mayor and CEOs of that community travel and build relationships with companies around the country. So not only do we have a great incentive package, but we also start building those relationships that ultimately decides where they select to place their jobs. We're missing that piece, and I plan as mayor to be the chief economic development official and travel to build relationships around the country.
Okay, Hal Heiner, it is your turn to ask a question of one of your opponents.
Okay, I have a question for Chris Thieneman. It's about fiscal responsibility. As a cancer survivor, I commend anyone who chooses to raise money for cancer charities. But 6 years ago, Chris, you raised over $1 million for the Mint Jubilee Ball, and not one penny went to the Brown Cancer Center. You actually managed to lose $75,000. My question is this. How can we trust you to run our city's $800 million budget when you failed to manage a cancer charity?
Well, personally, I think handing over $250,000 is not a mismanagement. But I'll be proud to show you the check that I wrote. But the 2 years after that, we got so excited about raising and giving $250,000, we decided, let's raise more money. So we started a bingo in the South End. And I misunderstood the distance from our East End volunteers on traveling to the South End of town to help in our bingo. And if you know anything about bingos, that they are very expensive and they were very time consuming and you need a lot of volunteers. We had the two bingos and they did not work out. The money that we did not make from the bingos is the money that we did not make for the charity. It had nothing to do with that black tie gala, and that's what the media has refused to talk to us about. I'm proud of the $250,000 and the millions more that it has raised since.
Okay, Chris, it's your turn to ask a question.
I've actually got five.
Can I? Well, you get one.
No, I get one? Okay. Well, I hate to pick on my friend Hal, but I'll pick on him anyway. But now, you just recently stood out and talked about your transparency issues that's in today's paper. But yet, you've been in leadership for 8 years with the Abramson administration. Now, in 2004, this administration promised us in an interview in the Lane Report, and I'm gonna read it exactly, that...
This has got to be a question.
Okay, it is. That Abramson started, he got a new Oracle financial system that cost hundreds of thousands of dollars of taxpayers' money, and it was going to expand the amount of information to be tracked to hold folks in departments accountable on a much more current basis than we have ever had before. That was said in 2004. Now, having this information, Hal, and knowing that it was there, and watching the mismanagement in Park Duval and the Animal Warehouse, the Animal Welfare Agency mismanagement, where were you?
Okay. I'll tell you, I'm very proud of my time on transparency. Actually, when I ran in 2002, open government was one of my main three platform points. And quite frankly, I'd seen some things in both the city and county governments that I did not want to transfer into this new government. I'm also proud that I was a principal sponsor, along with Ken Fleming, for an ordinance that required the administration to put a searchable database of all the checks written, and we've gone back now for 3 or 4 years and put those checks online, first time in this community, and passed an ordinance through this council. That ordinance was two parts. Part one was, let's get all the historical records online, because I'm a firm believer that with sunshine, the chance for corruption to creep into a government diminishes greatly. There was this part two to that ordinance, and that's still to come. As we have money to go to a paperless government, we don't have it yet, it's about a $400,000 investment, but we're getting there. All of the contracts will be linked to these expenses in the future, so that you'll be able to click on the expense and see the contract that authorizes spending. We have a lot farther to go, and to have an effect on transparency, you can have the maximum impact in the mayor's office, and that's why I'm running for mayor.
Okay, now we'll move into questions from the audience. The Republican candidates for Louisville Metro Mayor will now answer questions from all of you. Audience members have submitted their questions on little cards. A couple of Louisville Forum members, Ed Schatt and Bob Marshall, will be asking those questions. from the microphone out there, and each candidate will have 1 minute to answer. They'll remain seated right here. And now I'll mix up the order of who goes first to answer the question as we go along, so the same person doesn't get stuck answering the question first each time. I will be given a little bit of latitude if the candidates don't answer the questions, and they were pretty good about this at the last forum I was at, about answering the questions that were asked of them and not rambling on and not directly answering the questions. But if they get a little off kilter here, I have a little right to step in and perhaps push them a little bit. Although I know that would never happen in this group, right?
No.
Okay. All right. Let's start with the question.
Actually, we've disqualified the first question, which was directed toward you, Mark. They wanted to know a prediction about today's basketball game, but we know what your answer is going to be.
Jerry Smith will not play. That's my prediction.
Our first question for the three candidates. Councilman Heiner voted against the ratification of the Fairness Ordinance. How would the three of you vote on that today? And if you are opposed, how do you propose to have an inclusive administration that brings together the many and diverse communities within Metro Louisville to lead us forward?
Okay, Hal Heiner, why don't you go first?
Okay, thank you for that. I did vote against the Fairness Ordinance. As you know, all of the ordinances came before the council. We had to re-ratify in the first 5 years every ordinance from the city and county we wanted to go forward with. Fairness Ordinance was one. And if you had listened at the council meeting as I talked about this ordinance, you would have heard that I'm totally opposed to discrimination. I don't discrimination in my personal life, in my business, or any other activity, and quite frankly, it's wrong. But my point was, because I am a less regulation person, that the Supreme Court has made it very clear that discrimination based on sex under our Constitution, you have protections, whether you're homosexual, heterosexual, there's case after case. I cited those during the council proceedings. I'm opposed to discrimination, but that the situations that were discussed are already covered under gender protection in the Constitution, and we didn't simply need another law in this community.
Chris.
I would like to answer that with a personal story. I have many friends in Louisville, and one in particular that I talked to about the fairness issue was a fairly heavy-set lady, a woman friend, that said, you know, Chris, why do we have to have special fairness laws for certain groups when I promise you I am so completely discriminated against because of the size that I am? And watching her tell me that story and be so upset about it, I said, you know what, you're right. It shouldn't be any specific fairness for any specific group. We should have fairness for all. Now, I would be completely for a fairness ordinance if it would include many more discriminated against people and community leaders and citizens. So, thank you.
So you would vote against it if asked today?
As it stands today, I would vote against it.
Okay. Jonathan?
I believe I'd have to agree with Chris on that. I definitely do not believe in discrimination against anyone. I'm not as familiar with the legislation as, of course, Hal would be. But I believe that I would have to look at the legislation and I have to make sure that it is fair, but we should all get a fair shake with everything. And we are granted certain inalienable rights by our Constitution as a country, and I think everyone should have that. Like Chris said, everyone should be included and not any discrimination in that bill.
So I'm assuming same answer as Chris, you would vote against it if asked today?
I can't really say since I don't know the bill. Does that make sense?
Okay. Next question.
Okay, a brief editorial comment before my question. It's nice to see Mark Hebert here where he's not hammering somebody. He's being a nice, pleasant guy, so that's a nice change.
It's early.
believe me, he's probably got a few.
All right. In the last several years, the budget with Metro government has been very tight. There's been layoffs. There's been cutbacks. What plans do you have to try to ameliorate this situation?
Chris Thieneman.
Let me tell you something about that. This is exactly one of the main reasons that I'm running. Do you realize there are layers of government that the council has no say over? Do you realize that the rent that we get from the baseball stadium does not go to pay for the bonds or the mortgage of the stadium? It goes to a semi-government private agencies completely unaccountable for anyone other than the mayor of Louisville. We have PARC, accountable to no one, selling parking garages for millions less than what they are worth. If we could hold these companies accountable and protect the millions that they are giving away, we will have much more money. If I ran my business the way this administration runs this government, I would be millions in debt as well. So we have to take control and hold people accountable. Lift that rock and watch where all the little bugs fly over to.
Jonathan?
As I said earlier, I am an expert in efficiency. That's what I do every day. I make people more efficient through technology. I believe that I would bring a unique skill to the table as the chief operating officer of the city, and I would take everything that possible. I know that we're working on putting everything paperless, and I know that there was a question earlier about the databases, and I could definitely help with that because that's what I do. And I think that I can take what I do and turn that efficiency into what government does and make the government run at least 10 to 15% more efficient and leaner than it does now.
Al Heiner.
Thank you. Actually, we just released yesterday a transparency policy from my campaign and what we hope to do, a 10-point policy. One of those points was establishing, I'll call it performance metrics, where we understand what the cost of services are. Several of us on the council have pushed for the last 7 years for a comparison from year to year. What does it cost to pick up garbage at one house for the year? And I can tell you no one can answer that question in this government, and there's hundreds of areas just like that. We need metrics to understand. And so we can compare from year to year, compared to private sector, compared to what other governments are able to achieve. That will point up the areas that we need to work first, looking for efficiencies in the government. The second is to go to a participatory style of management. Talking to people that work in this government today, it's a very top-down management style, an old management style. If we're gonna find efficiencies, just on a city tour I've been on, went through Indianapolis, they brought in Lean Six Sigma into their city, and today they are putting money in their reserve fund in the middle of this recession. But it has to be employee-driven. The people that do the work have to be involved in finding those efficiencies. Okay. And that's what I'll do in my administration.
Another question?
We have several questions in regard to the library system, two of which are directed to two of the candidates. First, to Chris. This questioner notes that you promised to work, quote, tirelessly for the libraries. They want to know specifically what you've done for the libraries for the last 3 years. And to Councilman Heiner, that when it was on the ballot, you stated it was not necessary for the referendum to pass because the money was readily available through the city budget, which they feel has not worked out, and they want to know what your plan would be for the libraries as mayor.
Okay, let's do this. Let's start with Chris. I'll let all the candidates answer, and they can all state. Why don't we give them a couple minutes, Doc? Give everybody 2 minutes, and you can talk about the library, all three of you.
Okay, okay. Chris, great. Thank you. Literally, the day after the vote, I started my plan on how we can build these libraries with no new taxes, which, quite frankly, we are doing today, 4 years later than what we had planned on doing it. But what I did, and specifically in Valley Station, we are paying an out-of-town company who has since been foreclosed on $23,000 a month in sending that money out of town. But yet we own 4 acres of great South End property paid for. I went to Stockyards Bank, and I went to Stockyards, and I said, please, will you help me finance this library? We can base the income off of what we're giving to the out-of-town developer. We'll put up the property as collateral. They said, this is a no-brainer. I said, that's what I'm saying. But yet the media refused to talk about it. But so when I went to Stockyards, they were ready to go. But I wanted to give National City that first opportunity because Mary Griffith, the leader of our opposition, worked for National City. I was able to call National City's president and get a meeting right away. And Mary Griffith was supposed to be there. I went there and talked to the president. Mary stood us up, and the president said, I can't make her show up. I said, she works for you. We want this new library. Well, Chris, we're not going to meet about the library. And at the same time, I want to talk about a friend of mine who actually was my opposition at the time, and has since donated to my campaign, but it's a great man and the owner of this building, Mr. David Jones. I called his office and talked to his secretary. It might have been a little too early. Maybe the wounds were not healed, but I talked to his secretary and I said, please, I want to talk to Mr. Jones and let's get these libraries built. And she said, Mr. Jones does not need to speak to you. He wanted me to tell you that you have all the answers. You make it happen. And I'm so sorry for that, but that's the truth, but we are going to build them. And as mayor, I am going to make that happen, my friends.
Okay. Al Heiner.
Thank you. We have worked at the legislative level to try to advance libraries. In fact, shortly after the defeat of the additional tax, we put a bipartisan group together and issued a report, met with the Library Foundation. It was essentially an 80-20 plan. They raised $100 million, $20 million from the foundation they thought was doable, $80 million from government. The basis for the alternative plan was expiring bond issues between the years of 2012 and 2015. We are paying off large issues, Slugger Field, airport improvements, that frees up a lot of capital that today we make payments with it, but we'll no longer have to make those payments. The alternative plan that was offered at the time that the tax referendum was going forward was based on those expiring bond issues. Now, if you read the paper the other day, the mayor talked about the new regional library in Southwest that he is advancing with the architectural plans. And if you read very closely, the question was, well, where are the construction dollars going to come for this new library? He said, well, we have these expiring bond issues coming up, and that's how we will pay for this regional library. Well, those expiring bond issues not only pay for the construction, but they also pay for the operation of those new libraries. If we allocate a certain percentage, not all of it, but just a certain percentage of those dollars we're paying today, we can build the current library master plan. And that's what I hope to do as mayor.
Okay. Jonathan Robertson.
Sounds like these two guys have it all worked out, actually. So
4 years ago.
Yeah. So I don't think there's anything further I can add to that. I'm a big supporter of the library, but I was not a supporter of the library tax because I didn't think we needed to do that. And I believe that we have successfully found a way to fund the libraries without doing that. And so I think that's all I can say about that.
Next question.
Okay, this is a two-part question. First of all, what do you feel about the recent proposal by the mayor for the Louisville Metro government to consider purchasing LG&E? And secondly, what concrete suggestions do you have for trying to lessen the effect of these ice storms and wind storms on our power supply?
Those two different questions, or you want to throw them all into one?
The problem is we got 40 questions.
Yeah, okay. All right. Well, let's throw them into one. Jonathan, why don't we start with you? Should the city try and buy LG&E, and what would you do to maybe do a better job when the storms hit?
Well, actually, I don't think that it would be a good idea for the city to buy LG&E. For one, I think they want $8 billion for it. I think that's probably maybe a little bit beyond our city's reach at this point. It would take a long time to finance that. Of course, it could be paid, but I believe in private industry, and I believe that private industry usually does a better job than government does. And so if there would be, I guess the thing that was important that I want to get as the second part of the question is what would I do about the ice storms and so on. Actually, that's one of the things that I want to do is I want us to start building infrastructure, and one of the things is we need to bring our power lines underground. I think we have the ability to do that. I've talked to several engineers that work for LG&E, and they said it was very possible. And I think that we would be pioneering in Louisville if we did that. And I think it would bring our city a lot of attention, not to mention the benefit of the beauty of it because there wouldn't be any power lines around.
Okay. Chris, why don't you go second?
Well, you know, I love the fact that we own the Louisville Water Company. I think it's a great asset that we have, something that we can actually control. And I want to also commend Mayor Abramson for the few years ago when he tried and actually went to Europe to try to purchase LG&E 4 years ago. But as he has recently said, times have changed. and there's a lot of new numbers that we have to learn. I would love to be on that committee to learn more about that purchase and the potential purchase of that. We've worked successfully with the water company. I would love to see the chance, the opportunity, if we had, to be able to purchase LG&E. As far as the ice storms, other than praying to God, slowing down the ice, and just having everybody work as hard as they can to get it done. I know in all my real estate properties, we have a plan, and it is enacted the minute that it starts coming down, and maybe we could just up that time frame on the next storms.
Hal Heiner.
Thank you. The purchase of LG&E would be extremely difficult. The first part, coming up with a billion down for the financing, especially for a government that's run 3 years of deficits, tough, really tough. Especially in today's financing market, where about half the groups that would typically finance projects have exited the market, and would probably, the information I'm getting would also require a public referendum. A lot of hurdles. Where I'd like to see our emphasis is that if LG&E does sell, that we do everything we can to keep the employees here in Louisville. That our focus needs to be, we're business friendly, and we just focus on this new business just like it was a company looking at Louisville and put our efforts in that area. Wanted to talk about the effect on power lines. In my opinion, our utility has made a big mistake in decisions here in Louisville. In other cities, Indianapolis, for instance, all of the commercial lines are direct buried in the ground, and they put dual lines. Here in Louisville, just one second. Here in Louisville, it's all encased in concrete with manholes, and it's probably 5 or 6 times as expensive. We need to follow the models in other cities. That way we can afford to put more of our new systems underground and have increased reliability, which is important to business.
All right, Hal, you mentioned underground lines. Jonathan did too. Chris?
Well, yeah, I'd like to an extra 10 seconds.
You're getting an extra 10 seconds. That's what I'm doing.
Actually, all of my new developments, our lines are underground just because of that problem. We have other developments that are not underground, and that's where a major part of our problem is. So,
well, let me ask all three of you. That's a costly proposition. I think the Courier Journal and some of the other news outlets did some stories about how much it would cost just for 1 mile to put lines underground. It was several million dollars. So how would you pay for it? Hal? Or who brought it up first? Jonathan, you brought it up first.
I think, and I may be wrong here, but I think that most people would be willing to add a little bit extra to their LG&E bill over the next 30 years, 40 years, whatever, to pay for that just for the convenience of having power, because we've become way more reliant on our power now. 30 years ago, this wouldn't have really been an issue. We'd have been out of power. Everybody would have taken off and been fine. But now everything is powered by electricity, and it's very important that we have it. So I think that probably most people, if they thought about it, would be willing to pay a little bit extra to do that. And, hey, we're paying for what happened in the ice storm last year anyway, so why not go ahead and do it before instead of after?
Hal Heiner?
Yeah, the costs that I've heard, even for a neighborhood, are just astronomical. So actually replacing the existing system, other than in select areas where we can really increase reliability over a large area, I just don't see as practical. But as that system is replaced, as we add to that system, as it's time for replaced poles and that, we need to have a new way, a less costly way to go underground with the replacement. Those dollars we're spending anyway, let's put those new dollars underground.
Okay, Chris?
My family owns a 100-acre development with multifamily residents. There's over 500 families. And I asked them, I said, can we put just a little bit extra in your rent to help cover underground utilities? And I can promise you, I wasn't a very popular person when we listed that. You know, and that's why we still have overhead utilities there. But on all of our new developments are underground because of the cost.
Okay. All right, next question.
The next question focuses on the Metro Ethics Commission, specifically what each of you would do to transform that body into a body that would protect civil servants who report waste, fraud, and abuse, rather than a body that decides whether elected and appointed officials may accept ballgame tickets.
Hal Heiner, let's start with you.
Okay. Now, this has been a topic of much discussion on the council, and if you have followed in the paper, just on rewriting the ethics law in this community has turned out to be an 18-month process. You think it'd be simple, everybody would be for, let's go to the highest standard of ethics that we can possibly find, include everyone with purchasing authority, say over, pick a number, $1,000, $10,000, under the ethics law. It's actually been a fight at the council, surprising to me, on whether step relatives should be included or not included. But I think the council's getting close to finally a much more in-depth ethics regulation here in Louisville. The council's also made some progress, and this is a new government. It's 7 years old. I mean, we're getting there. But with the anonymous tip line finally in place, and all of those have been council initiatives to try to build an open, transparent government for the future.
Okay, Jonathan.
I actually watched some of the council talking about the ethics, and I was actually just stunned. It was a lot of, like what he said, it was a lot of talking about, well, now, if my son did this for me and did that for him, now, would that be unethical? And they didn't look like they were getting very far with it. It looked like they were kind of just spinning their wheels. So, I think that, I think if I got the question right, I think that we really need to move forward with that and not be so concerned about those little details and maybe make something happen.
Chris?
Oh, I wish I had a couple hours on this one. I promise you there's a lot of that needs to be talked about. But as far as an anonymous tip line, I am part of a citizen group tip line that we have, that and the calls that we have many of them are afraid to use the city-run tip line. And the main thing that we need to change, my friends, is that we have an ethics board controlled by one individual. I do not want to pick the ethics board and have them protecting or watching after me. And we're going to have an ethics board that is picked by other folks. And I tell you why. I've learned in a long time, they like to always call me a fighter, but I had a problem, and I went to what I thought was the man who would have the answer, Commonwealth Attorney Dave Stengel, over some corruption that was going on in the Planning Commission. And he said, well, let me tell you, son, I was told a long time ago, if you want to become a millionaire, you be the chairman of the Planning Commission. And I said, well, how do you do that on $50 a session? And he showed me the door. We need some serious ethics in this community.
Next question.
What skill set do you bring to the table that would make you an effective mayor?
Okay, Chris, let's start with you and go backwards.
Well, we need somebody that's not shy and that's not afraid to tell you the truth, no matter how painful it will be. My business experience has gotten me into building neighborhoods and building bridges and building streets and taking care of those communities. And at the same time, my mother instilled a passion to help others that would love a hand up, maybe not a handout, which is what I've done with my Katrina families that I brought up. And my complete experiences and my absolute transparency is what would be wonderful for this community, and I would be honored for your vote.
Okay, Al Heiner.
Thank you for that question. The last 20 years I've spent in the business of job attraction, and if there's one area that Louisville needs to do a lot better, it's in job attraction. Pick almost any city in the Midwest, and I can tell you we are not competitive. Look at the statistics. We are not competitive in job attraction. And if we're going to remain a great city, we need to win the best jobs in Louisville. That's what I've done for the last 20 years, talking to companies from Europe, Asia, East Coast, West Coast. I know how they think. I know how their site consultants think. We often make the short list, but rarely are the ones selected at the end. I think I can help there. The last 7 years, I've served in leadership on this council. I've been chair of the budget committee. I've been chair of public safety. I've been chair of transportation and public works. I've been chair of labor and economic developments. I've been able to see firsthand how this government operates, and not only what's remarkable about this city, but also the areas that we need major improvement. So the combination of those two, my business and job attraction, and my public service for the last 7 years, I think is exactly what Louisville needs right now to move forward.
Okay, Jonathan?
Well, I'm not just an IT professional. I've done many other things in life. I actually have done architectural design. I've done real estate. I believe that I can bring an efficiency to the city like no other. I've run a small business for a long time, and I help other small businesses become more efficient and more profitable. And I don't know how many of you are small business owners, but small business owners know how to squeeze more money out of a dollar than anybody I know. And I believe I can bring that to the city, and I think that's what we need. I also think it's very important to surround yourself with people that know what they're doing. And I would also definitely do that, surround myself with people that know what they're doing, people that know this city. But I'd like to be the fresh face, somebody that is not connected with anybody else, somebody that doesn't know all the ins and outs of Louisville, so that I can come bring to the table brand new planning and brand new thoughts that nobody else has done.
All right, we've got time for one more question. I'll tell you what, let's limit it to 30 seconds. We got to get to the closing remarks. I know it's not much time to answer a question, but if you got a short one that we can get to pretty quick.
What actions would you take to help support the park, the new park out in Eastern Jefferson County?
Jonathan, why don't you go first?
I love the parks. As a matter of fact, I'm a bike rider, and when we started talking about doing the trail, the 100-mile trail around connecting all the parks, I was excited about that. I've heard a lot of people talk about how it just costs too much money and that we shouldn't be doing it right now, but I think that's a very important part of our community. It's important for us. It's important for our kids, and I think it's a feather in our cap in Louisville that we do have the park system that we have.
Al?
My thanks to David Jones, Dan Jones, the Jones family for the 21st Century Parks. What an amazing new attraction to Louisville, increasing the quality of life. But it also will help us as we try to attract jobs. This is one of the top new park system in the entire country. And you add that to our Olmsted parks, and it really sizzles here in Louisville. So I would hope as we go after jobs that we highlight what a great parks community and also arts community here in Louisville. It's a special place to live. I'll tell you one thing we need, better transportation, better access to that park system. Right now, okay. It's farm-to-market roads. We need to improve the roads.
Chris Thieneman?
This is where I can brag about my friend David Jones. I volunteer up in Frankfort and help bills. I've actually was able to make three bills into law. And in my time up in Frankfort with Senator Dan Syme, I made sure of it that I was there when Mr. Jones and Dan Jones were there asking the senator for help and asking the senator to help us give $5 million in the budget. And after watching it and listening to the Joneses and talking to Senator Syme, we said, don't ask just for $5 million, ask for $10 million. And I'm so happy to see that he's asking for $15 million. So we're going to go out there and try to get that money because it's desperately needed. We do not have the beaches or the mountains, and we need this park system.
Okay, it's time now for the candidates' closing remarks. Each of them will have 2 minutes to explain to you and the listening audience and the viewing audience why they should be the Republican nominee for mayor of Louisville. Chris Thieneman goes first.
Do I stand up?
Yeah, sure you stand.
Sure. Thank you. Thanks again. You know, one of the ways that I feel that I did not mention on how important a mayor's position is to Louisville, I want to bring outside money to Louisville. I found through my research an Indianapolis company that was doing business in Nashville. And in the newspaper article in Indianapolis, they said, well, we're always driving through Louisville. But maybe one day we'll stop and do some business in Louisville. That was my invitation to write a letter. I wrote that letter, didn't hear back, but 6 months later he says, Chris, I want to invest some money in Louisville. We are getting ready to build a $15 million industrial building in the Riverport. And we came in second, and you can ask Verus Partners that, to a company out of North Carolina to relocate their company. Now you're going to see my opponents tonight's commercial talking about the jobs that he has brought to South Louisville. Now what I want you to watch about in the businesses that I've followed, and many of them have come from, the reason he says South Louisville, because they have come from downtown Louisville. That's not job creation to me. And he has taken over 1,000 jobs over to southern Indiana at a cost of millions of occupational taxes to us. That's not the kind of leadership that we need. We need outside money. We don't need conflicts of interest. And I believe that that is the reason why I should have your vote.
Okay, you can applaud. Hal Heiner.
2000 to 2008 was a time of robust job growth in the Midwest. If you look at our surrounding cities, Indianapolis, Cincinnati, Nashville, in this time, 8 years before the recession, the total, they grew by 100,000 net new private jobs. Here in Louisville, despite Humana and UPS growing, we lost, on net, we lost 2,000 jobs. How can this be? We've got so much to be proud of, from Waterfront Park to one of the largest air cargo hubs in North America. We have arts and parks amenities that make cities twice our size would be willing to give their eye tooth to have in their city. We have some of the lowest utility rates anywhere in the nation, and we're perfectly located at the center of the population east of the Rockies. We should be the best at job attraction, not the worst. I want to talk to you about one other area, and that is, we have talked in this community maybe two decades about how Frankfurt treats Louisville, the lack of investment, and how that has held us back, and how we have 18% of the votes in Frankfurt, but we send 25% of the tax dollars, and we're only getting 40 cents on the dollar back. We've complained about it. We've said it isn't fair. We've talked about it. We've put it in ink. What I hope to do as mayor is I hope to build an urban coalition in Kentucky. If Kentucky's going to move forward in jobs, we need more investment in urban areas. And the way to do that is Frankfurt, and the only thing Frankfurt respects is votes. So I hope Northern Kentucky is hungry for a relationship. Northern Kentucky, Ashland, Paducah, Owensboro, Bowling Green, Lexington, we need an urban coalition, and I plan to work on that. I'm running for mayor to bring my business experience in job attraction and my 7 years in leadership on Metro Council to win new jobs for Louisville. Together, we can change the very culture of this government into one as great as the great people it serves. My name's Hal Heiner, and I ask for your vote.
And Jonathan Robertson.
One of the things I'd like to do is I would like to attract high-tech jobs, good-paying jobs, to the Louisville area. And one of the ways I proposed in another forum that kind of think went over top of everybody's head was the Google Gigabit Internet. And not many people know what that is, but what that is it's a super high-speed internet that will connect us together at speeds unheard of, 1,000 times more than what you get at home right now. And what that can do for our community is it can build an excitement and a buzz around the country of people that want to be here. High-tech people, high-tech manufacturers, high-tech cloud computing people would want to be here in Louisville, Kentucky. And we're not talking about just service jobs. These are good-paying jobs. And these are things that we can train our community to do, build the infrastructure. If we build it, they will come. We need to work on it. We need to do it. I've actually talked to the mayor's office, the economic development office, about this, and I asked, what are we doing to try to get this Google Gigabit Internet here? The deadline is March 26th. They said they're working on the RFP, so on and so on. They haven't built any excitement. I don't think any of you has. Have any of you heard of it? Nope. Not many people have heard of it. And I think that it's really important that we put that word out. Google wanted people to actually send in videos. What would you do with that high-speed internet to attract them here? Because they're actually going to build the infrastructure for us. And that would be great for our city, but we're not doing anything about it. And I'm very disappointed about that. And so I would really like to see us get more involved with the exciting things that bring young people here and make people want to stay here, because I am tired of young people leaving our community. I'm Jonathan Robertson, and I'd like to be your Metro Mayor. My website is metromayor.com.
That's pretty much it for the debate or the forum among the candidates for the Republican nomination for Louisville Metro Mayor. As most of you in this room know, and most of you who are listening or watching on television know, it takes a lot of time, money, effort, and perhaps most importantly, ideas to run for public office. And so we should thank all of you gentlemen for sticking yourselves out there and doing that. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you to the candidates, and thank you, Mark. And I hope all of us remember to listen, to decide, and to vote on May the 18th. Special thanks to the William E. Barth Foundation for the grant that enabled us to invite these students from two Jefferson County high schools to be with us today. We're grateful to Bandy Carroll Hellage, which monitors our media coverage, and to our own program and issues committee, in particular Ed Schatt, Sandy Richardson, and Steve Haig, for arranging this program. Next month, the forum program will feature another face-to-face program, this time featuring the Democrats, who are running for their party's nomination for mayor. Remember that the new date is April the 21st, the third Wednesday, and that it will run from noon to 1:15 p.m. Make your reservation now on our reservation line at 329-0111 or on our website. We expect a large crowd, so do this early. Until next month, I'm Dot Ridings for the Louisville Forum, and we are adjourned.